Well, I have a problem for remembering things, and maybe it's forgetting things. You know, I forget to take out the recycle on every other Tuesday. I forget to take my vitamins. I always forget vacation hold for the newspaper until we're about ready to get in the car and leave. I forget my parents' birthday until the day of their birthday, so their card is always late, but I do call them. You know, the other day, I forgot I was meeting someone on Friday at 8 o'clock. Ugh, it drives me crazy. At night, sometimes the kids will say, "Dad, can you do this tomorrow?" And if I don't write it down, or if my wife asks the same question, boom, it's gone, unfortunately. It's out of my memory. It's really irritating for my whole family. As another reminder, between 10:15 and 12:15 Sunday mornings, my brain checks out. So if you want me to remember something, put a big note on my desk, and I will remember that. You know, there's been times when I've been driving through Shady Cove, and I suddenly remember, I've got to remember something when I get home. So I'll cross my fingers really hard as I'm driving. And sometimes I forget why I'm doing that, but I can't get out of the car until I remember what it was. And those things aren't life-threatening or endangering usually, but it can be difficult. Do you have problems remembering? Or maybe your specialty is forgetting, I don't know. In times of stress and challenge, we can forget things. When our body is failing or we are in pain, we can forget that God still loves us, that He still is there, that He sees our situation. You know, when finances are tight, we sometimes forget that God is the provider. He knows what we need. You know, when facing great pressure and temptation, we're like, "I can't do this." Oh, wait, God says He'll give us a way out of temptation, and He provides everything we need for life and godliness. You know, Paul is going to give Timothy several reminders today. We're going to look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. And Timothy is facing some challenges. Paul is too. Paul is in prison. He's not going to get out alive. But he's saying, "Timothy, you may be facing hardship for the sake of getting my word out to people that need to know it, but don't give up. There are others who are abandoning Paul, want nothing to do with them, some who are turning away from the gospel." But he says, "Timothy, keep on going. Remember these key things so when the going gets tough, you can go to our good God." Paul knows it's not going to be easy for Timothy. But we're going to see in this passage, we're going to see the example of Jesus, who though he faced the cross, he pressed on, and the Father saw that, and he was raised and glorified, and he's soon to be coming again. We've seen Paul, who's in jail for preaching the gospel, but yet he keeps saying, "Keep on going, Timothy." We're also going to look at a hymn or a creed from the early church that will really tell us as well, endure, press on. Remember, though, we do this all in the strength that is in Christ Jesus. It's not our own. If we can tap into God and say, "Lord, I need your help," and He is sure to answer. Well, let me read 2 Timothy 2, 8 to 13. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Here's a trustworthy statement. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will also disown us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this, at Your word today, I know that there are many facing many challenges. And I know in my life I have a tendency to forget certain things as well. But Lord, I pray that no matter what happens, we would not forget You. We would not forget Your word. We would not forget what You have done and what You promise You will do. Thank You that we can cling to You. You are our secure, strong, steady, always faithful God. As we look at some things that are hard to understand, would You give us Your insight? We desperately need You, God, and we thank You for Your help. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, he starts out, "To remember hardship, remember God's Son." Look at verse 8. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Remember God's Son. Timothy has had a couple missionary journeys under his belt with Paul already. Timothy's been sent to pastor a church. He's a younger guy in his 30s, but he's not a new believer. He's been around the block, and Paul is saying, I know, you're facing difficulties. You're facing challenge. He says, and when you are, remember Jesus. Colossians 3 is so good. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. When troubles come, when difficulties are here, it is so easy to navel gaze, to look around, to only see the problems. And he's saying, Timothy, remember Jesus. Keep thinking about Jesus, because the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And no matter what we're facing in life, we've got to remember him. Well, what do we remember about him? 10 times Paul uses the phrase Jesus Christ in the book of 2 Timothy. Here, though, he says Christ Jesus. It makes you stop and go, what's going on? Most commentators think he's really trying to drive home a couple things, the divinity and the humanity of Christ. You know, he's born as the man Jesus. He suffers and dies for our sins. And it says he's raised from the dead. And the verb tense is great. He was raised from the dead, and he continues to be the risen one. Aren't you glad? He's not like Lazarus and some of the other guys in the New Testament. When Jesus was raised, they were raised. Hey, this is great. And then one day, bonk, they weren't alive anymore. Not our God. He continues to be the risen one. And this is so important, because Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, we're wasting our time. Our faith is futile. But if he has been, that changes everything. And another thing is, this is a testament to God's approval of Jesus, because Jesus went to the cross. He scorned the shame. He did everything right. And the Father steps in and says, I'm raising him from the dead. He gets my seal and stamp of approval. Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection, and it happened in Jesus. We are clearly seen, Jesus raised from the dead. The next thing is, as he says, he's descended from David. Paul has been talking with Jews. He's now dealing with Gentiles, but he's wanting to say, listen, there was a promise given to David long ago that you will not fail to have someone on the throne. Some of David's ancestors, the kings, were up and down. Some of them failed miserably. They were taken off the throne. But ultimately, the promise is seen in Jesus. God said, this is going to happen. The Messiah is coming, the one who will save people from their sin, the one who will deliver his people. And he does. And that is Jesus. And this king will reign forever. A human can't do that. David's not going to do that, but Jesus, he'll reign on David's throne, and he will rule the nations. And so this is a reminder to Timothy. Remember Jesus, the one who was raised from the dead, the one whose reign will continue, the one who got God's seal of approval. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. Yes, you may get weary, but keep on trucking. Paul is telling Timothy, keep on going. And he's telling us as well. When life is difficult, when the idea of sharing Jesus with others is difficult, we've got to keep on going. We've got to remember Jesus. Verses 8 to 10 are actually one sentence in Greek. And so Paul is going to talk about Jesus, and then it's going to work its way through with himself. He says, this is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. He wants to say, remember the Son of God, remember Jesus. Now he's going to say, remember God's scripture, remember God's word. Paul was in jail, not because he'd done anything wrong, but because he'd done the right things in God's eyes. But others didn't like it. He was an enemy of the state. When he's called a criminal, that's only the only other time it's used in the scripture is of the two thieves on the cross, the two guys next to Jesus. And Paul didn't deserve that, but he's lumped in that. I mean, think about it. Paul was filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the next part of the verse is, against such things there is no law. But sometimes people don't like that. So here Paul is in a dirty, dark, damp prison. He's chained day and night. He's there because he's carrying out what God would have him to do. but he's still rejoicing. I'm chained up, but God's word's not chained up. Have you ever been to like an arcade or something, or you take the grandkids to, what do you call it, Chuck E. Cheese, with all the noise and lights, and there's the whack-a-mole. Whack-a-mole, you put a few quarters in the thing, and it's got this handle with this big mallet, and these moles pop up, and you try to whack them, but and there's so many popping up, you just can't get them all down. It's really fun to watch people do that, but I think of it as kind of like God's word. People throughout the ages have tried to get rid of God's word. They've tried to put the church down, but it may be not doing so well, let's say, in the Middle East for a while. But then what's the Lord do? He raises up more churches in Africa. And then, so somebody tries to whack, Idi Amin comes along, and well, that doesn't work. Well, what happens? The church in China grows. So then the next guy, and the Ayatollah comes along, whack, oh, doggone it, now there's a million believers. And but you just, you whack them all. You can beat it down. You can try all you want. And you cannot stop it. Trying ultimately to get rid of God's word is like even all the people in trail shooting guns at a hurricane. It's not going to help. It's going to make a big noise. It's going to be exciting, but it's not going to work. You can't whack-a-mole God's word away. Paul is saying, God's scripture, hang on. Timothy, when you're going through hardship, people, when you're going through hardship, hang on. The bad guys are whack-a-moling, but God cannot be stopped. His word will get out. It will accomplish what it wants to have happen. And we can bet on it. You can try to shoot it down. It's not going to work. So in hardship, remember God's son. Remember God's scripture. It's not chained. We get to verse 10. He says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He's talking about God's salvation. Remember, God has a plan. He is going to save those that he has chosen. Doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter the difficulties. God's salvation is something we've got to remember. Paul is going through difficulty. He says, I do all things for the sake of the elect, that they will obtain salvation. He doesn't say, I will do all things for those who are going to believe. And the doctrine of election is difficult for many in the scripture. It's the notion that God has chosen some to be his sons and daughters. The implication is he doesn't choose everyone. And at first glance, that sounds difficult. Well, why would God choose some and not others? What we as believers, knowing our sinful nature, knowing the character of God, have to keep coming back to is, why would God choose anyone in the first place? We who have gone our own way, we who have done wrong, we who have spurned God and said, I want to be in charge, do it on a regular daily basis in little ways and large, why would God choose us? This is something Jesus taught, not just Paul. Jesus in John 3 said, a man can only receive what is given him from heaven. He talks often about natural man in and of ourselves, our non-spiritual state. We don't get God. It's only as God reveals it. He goes on to say in John 6, all the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise him up at the last day. Jesus says, though the Father gives me, I will hang on to. They will not be taken away. They are secure. He'll say it later on in John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up. He went on to say, this is why no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. There are theological things, and people go back, how much free will do we have versus how much is it God doing all the work? But I go back to statements of Jesus. The Father gives some to Jesus, and Jesus hangs on tight to them. In John 10, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I think Jesus is saying, my sheep are those the Father has given me. They are the elect. Those who are not part do not believe. Those who are will. He goes on in John 17, you granted him authority over all people that he may give eternal life to all those you've given him. I pray for those you've given me, for they are yours. You know, Jesus is God the Son. and God the Father, they are the ones who write the rules. They can do as they wish. There are certain things I struggle with. Honestly, I go, oh, but what about, I want people to be, have been chosen by God. I want all my family to know God. But what I must do is share. What I must do is communicate. What I must do is live my life before them in a way pleasing to God. Paul in Ephesians 1 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace. It's a difficult doctrine when we think about those that we love that don't know Jesus, but I think we have to keep coming back to the fact that it is an amazing privilege that God would choose us. And so we must say, thank you, Lord. And Paul is suffering because he wants those who do not yet know Jesus, but will, to come to know them. And it's this interesting thing where God does the drawing, God does the choosing, and yet he uses us to share the message. He talked in Romans 10, how can they call on the one they've not believed on? How can they believe in one they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching? How can they preach if they're not sent? I don't know how it works, but God uses us to reach those he is drawing to reach. And Paul was going to keep going, and that's why he was suffering. The father of modern missions, William Carey, who went to India in the 1700s, he had this burden for those who didn't know Christ. And someone said, young man, if God wants to save the heathen, he can do it without your help or mine. That is true. But he uses us. And Carey was aware of it. And just like Paul, he was struggling, he was suffering, he was preaching so that people would know about him. He says, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. There'll be no sin, there'll be no sadness, no sickness, no Satan, no self-deception. It is going to be great. But in the meantime, what are we given? Because eternity starts when we put our faith in him. We're given peace with God now, a purpose. We're given gifts to use to minister to the body. We're given the Spirit. We're given a future hope in heaven. We're given future glory with him. We're going to get to reign with Christ, and we're going to have new bodies. Woohoo! That's going to be great too. As Paul is saying, remember God's Son, remember God's Scripture, remember God's salvation. And then when things are hard still, keep remembering God's saying. Let's look at verses 11 to 13. He says, here is a trustworthy statement. Paul gives five of those trustworthy statements in 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And the statement is thought to be maybe like a baptismal creed, maybe an early Christian hymn, maybe a saying that they would say together. But it's got four if clauses. If, da-da-da-da-da, if such and such will happen. There's two negatives and two positives. The first one is a positive. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Some folks think, well, this is referring to a martyr's death. If you die for Christ, you will be raised to him. Others say, no, 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 this really seems like Paul is talking about our identification with him. Think about Romans 6. If we died, we will live in him. Picture baptism, a portrait of we die to sin and self, we are raised to new life in Christ, and then he is in us and we are in him. But if we died with him, we will live with him. Remember, Timothy, who's going through struggles, has got to remember, okay, no matter what happens, I'm identified with Christ, whether I live or die, but I will be with him forever. The next one in verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we don't give up. Revelation 3 says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Later on it says, you've made them to be kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. In the millennial kingdom, we are going to be co-reigners with Christ. I don't get how it's going to work. I mean, we are the junior partners, but we're going to have a special role. But he says, if we endure, we'll reign. And so, Timothy, keep on going. And tell folks here, if you're struggling, keep on going. Press on. It will be worth it. Well, next we get to a warning, and we also, there are really super smart scholars on both sides that, you know, study Greek 12 hours a day for the last 40 years, and they're still arguing. They both love Jesus. They've come down on different viewpoints, and I can't even begin to understand all the technicalities. But basically, there's two views on this next section. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we're faithless, he'll remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. The first view is talking about someone basically turning their backs on God, turning their backs on Jesus, kind of like Judas, who said, no, I'm doing my thing. This is not temporary stumble and fall like Peter did. And those who are doing this are giving evidence they never truly belonged to God. And someday, when they stand before him, he will say, I never knew you. It's not a weak or a struggling faith. This is a lack of saving faith. But ultimately, Christ will say no. The other view is to say, what is going on here? Is if we are in a tough spot, if we are facing persecution, if we are facing oppression, we stumble and we fall, we, like Peter, say, I don't know you. I'm afraid. If we step back, what will happen is what will we be denied? We'll be denied rewards. Everyone will face judgment. Those who do not know Christ, the great white throne judgment, from there they'll be cast in the lake of fire. All believers, though, we will stand before God and our deeds will be judged. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It is not a judgment for are we in or out. It's a matter of what rewards will we receive. Some of our deeds will be wood, hay, and stubble and will perish. Some will be gold and they will stand firm. Peter is not getting credit for when he said to the little girl, I don't know Jesus. But he will receive rewards because he repented. He came back to Jesus. He was warmly welcomed, and he finished strong. There's this real sense, which I keep coming back to as I've wrestled with, what is this talking about? Is this talking about people who are going to turn their back on Jesus and won't be with him? Or is this talking about believers? But I keep coming back to, if we. Paul is writing to Timothy, a believer. And he's including himself. There's nothing in this passage that says, we and us doesn't include Timothy. It doesn't include me. I think he's talking to believers, and he's really saying, you may stumble, you may fall, but get up and run to Jesus. Think about the nation of Israel. God had chosen them. He had his hand of blessing upon them. And what did they do? They continued to blow it. He never said, Israel, I'm done with you. Beat it. Forever, you're done. He did send them to exile. He did allow them to go through difficult things. There was judgment upon them, but they still were his people, and he still loves the Jewish people to this day, and he still has a plan for them. But they did face challenges, and they did not always pass muster, but God had made a covenant with them. He said, I will be your God. You will be my people. And he still loves them. Many who are Jewish today do not trust in the Messiah, and they will face wrath apart from God. But there will be many that will come to him. But I think my take, and I'm not taking a bullet for it, is that in this passage, Paul is saying, Timothy, we're talking about believers. I'm talking about the elect. I'm talking about those who are Christ. And he says, don't be one Timothy who stumbles and falls and doesn't proclaim the word like you should. Don't be one who runs away for a while, but keep pressing on. But Timothy, if you blow it, if you fall down on the job, God is faithful. If you are faithless, Timothy, God will remain faithful. Others would say, what that means is God is faithful to his word. You reject me, off you go. But what I think he's saying is, I made a deal. No one can snatch you out of my hand. And God is faithful to his word. We may get there by the skin of our teeth, in a sense, reward-wise, but we still will be God's children. And you can wrestle with that, and I encourage you to do so. But what I do know is our salvation does not rest upon what you or I do. It doesn't rest upon how many good works I do, even after I put my trust in Jesus. It doesn't rest on how much I use my gifts or don't. What it rests upon is the finished work of Jesus. That God saw this, what Jesus had done, and he said, "It is finished. My wrath has been satisfied. Your sins are forgiven. Believe and trust in his name." God will not abandon us. And I think he is saying, be encouraged, Timothy. Be encouraged because God is true to himself. Remember God's word. Remember God's son. Remember God's scripture. Remember God's promises, his sayings. Well, I got a text from Frankie Hess yesterday. He and Kira and Kathy were marching through the Sky Lakes Wilderness when all of a sudden they came across Kyle and his trail life troop going backpacking. And I said, I hope Kyle was persevering and doing great. He said, yeah, Kyle was smiling and just boogieing right along. He loves backpacking. He loves trail life. Well, sometimes backpacking is difficult. We all get tired and you get hot. And there's times when you need to sit down, and that's okay. There's times when you need to take a drink. There's some times when we're just like, I don't want to go any farther. Everyone feels it. And there's a couple choices. I got to thinking about that. What if Frankie had seen Kyle just, I'm giving up. I'm going back to the car with you guys. Take me to Klamath Falls. Frankie could have said, no, it'll be all right. Go with your leaders. Here, let's take a little gear and put it in the other guy's pack. You can do it. It's going to be worth it. Where we just came from, the lake is so glorious. You're going to love it. Don't give up, Kyle. Keep going. That could have been one approach. Or he could have said, Kyle, if you don't get up, I'm going to take this big log here, and I'm going to whack your kneecap into next week. That would have been another approach to get him moving. It would have had a very different effect. There's a sense of, keep going. You can do it. You're not on your own. You know, your leaders are faithful. They'll help you. Or there's the fear factor. Or there's the negative motivation. I think that's how it relates to this passage. It's hard, Timothy. Don't give up. You may stumble and fall, but God is faithful. He will get you through no matter what. And there's a total change. Well, several years ago, there were some Bible translators, Bruce and Jan Benson. And they and their 14-year-old son were traveling down a mountainside in the Peruvian Andes. As they came around a switchback, their road was blocked by a number of cars, and a truckload of terrorist rebels that called themselves the Shining Path emerged, surrounded them with automatic rifles, and they ordered them out of the car. And Jan thought, uh-oh, this is the end. Well, the terrorists took them to a nearby town. And on the way, Jan was fearful. She was terrified, as you might imagine. And she felt the need to pray and then sing. And it was like the Lord reminded her, the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. And she said, Lord, I don't know how to praise you right now. I can't praise you. And he said, sing, sing. Okay, Lord. And so she said, you are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And she began to sing other songs as they came to mind. And suddenly she said, I felt like I was the only person on earth. It was just God and myself. And she felt his love and assurance that God was in control. And she thought, not even death can separate me from his presence. Well, unexpectedly that night, the rebels released the whole family. But they kept their car, they kept all their portable projection equipment, and they kept all of their Bible reel-to-reels. Well, a year later, they were living in the capital city, and for safety, they continued their work as Bible translators. And she got a phone call. It turned out one of her captors had become a Christian. And he wanted to meet with them. Well, when they met, they said, you know, I was a seasoned killer. I'd had lots of experience. We were going to kill you, but for some reason, we felt like we should let you go. You know what they did, though? They had that projector, and they had all those movies. And they set it up, and they watched the film. And they watched it again. They had nothing else to do out in the jungle. And they watched it again. He said, at one point, there were several hundred rebels watching and listening to God's word in their own language. And many of them, right then and there, wanted to lay down their weapons and leave the Shining Path. Their former enemy, this guy who'd helped capture them, was right there before him. And he said, forgive me for my part in what we did to you that day. Eventually, the Bensons were able to go back to the village and complete the New Testament in that language. It was amazing. God's witnesses were imprisoned, but not his word. God's people were in a tight spot, but they kept looking to him. They didn't forget Jesus who had saved them. They didn't forget that they were there to give out God's word that people would be changed. They didn't forget that there were some like this man who were yet to believe, who were God's chosen and would come to him. And they didn't forget that God is faithful. They clung to that. You may not face kidnapping, terrorists, guns to your head, but you will face hardship. If we're busy doing God's business, we will not be liked by the world. But if we're faithful to him, even if we stumble and fall, he will be faithful. Remember God's son. Remember God's scripture. Remember God's salvation. Remember his statements. Because come what may, we are in good hands with our Almighty God. Lord, we come to you, the faithful one. Thank you, Lord, that you weren't done with Peter. You weren't done with Elijah. You weren't done with David. You weren't done with Gideon. You weren't done with Moses. You weren't done with the other disciples who fled. You weren't done with Nathanael. And God, you're not done with us either. We don't want to be examples of those who blow it and come back to you, who blow it so we have to come back to you. We want to be the examples of those who keep trucking with you. But Lord, thank you that when we stumble and fall, you are faithful and we can come running back. I pray that you would give us the courage to do what is right, the courage to share so that others may come to know you as well. Thank you that it is always good to remember Jesus. In your name I pray, amen.